talk to you about all your phobias.
All your problems. And of course I am. Forest Hills, Queens. Okay. So here's what we're going to talk about. See, look, I could go for hours, but I want to get to something that you and I care about, which is hit songs. And what the hell is a hit? I get the St. Vincent track. I get New York about 3 weeks ago, and I pop it in and I melt. I absolutely melt. And I go, I don't know what happened here, but this melted me. It absolutely just made me go crazy. And then I found out someone was behind it. You know, it's what I want to talk about with you for 10 minutes. We could go for hours about this, but let's talk about what a hit is. I know what a hit is because of my two ears. You know what a hit is because of your two ears. But nobody really knows, and yet somehow, since we met in 2008, right? I heard I Feel Weird. I knew where that was going, but you had no idea back then.
Well, no, and it took me a long time to understand, because a lot of people tell you that a hit is math, or there's arithmetic to it, or it's synthesized. A hit is something you want to hear over and over again. That's what makes it a hit, because a hit is a hit because it plays many times. There's no formula to that. And the greatest goal, the thing that I've learned as a songwriter, is to just trust when something feels good. And people, because if I want to hear it, people are going to want to hear it. And the entire music industry is based off of hit songs. And then every hit song has a tale of a million songs that people tried to synthesize to be like it. And those are like, they're not hits. They're just like these like groggy moments that don't last in time.
I grew up with New York Top 40 radio in the 60s and the 70s. And, you know, Chick-a-Boom and all, and Sugar Sugar by the Archies. But what these all had, you know, it's not even hooks. It's that, and you know, these words we hate, earworm, right? I don't like the word earworm.
Well, I don't like anything that suggests that there's something offensive or cheap about it, because they're not earworms. They're not like, it's not sugary. It's not like, you know, even the word hook.
How do we get rid of the word hook? How do we create vernacular so people understand?
Yeah, well, hook is melody, or hook is lyric, or hook is production. Like, you know, the Beatles records, some of the hooks were simply the panning. You could have a hook that is, and that, you know, Phil Collins, great songwriter, great performer. What's the number one hook that is discussed in Phil Collins' career? It's that goddamn drum fill that they recorded through the control room mic. A hook can be anything. A hook is just something that pulls you in. But it's this age-old thing, the word pop, you know, this concept that if something's popular, it's less than or it's cheap, people apologizing for it. You know, let's just admit that that's the hardest thing to do, is write something that can connect with people and hook people in, but isn't stupid. I mean, there was a time when the most popular music was ragtime. There was a time when the most popular music was fully like weirdo electronic stuff in the 80s. It's kind of irrelevant. And to me, a lot of these conversations that songwriters have, they all just detract from, like, just do something that says something and connects to an emotion. And I mean, isn't that what songwriting recording is? You put a little mesh in a bottle, you chuck it out there, and you hope that someone's like, oh, I feel that way too. And then what if the whole world's like, I feel that way too? That's the one that's exciting.
So people spend 90% of their interviews with you looking for you to repeat how troubled you are, all the things that we're all effed up, right? And then that's what leads to the catharsis that leads to great songwriting. But then all the people that you've worked with recently, whether it's a Lord and Liability, whether it's any of these songs, to be a great artist, if you're normal, then where's the soul?
Well, no one's normal. It's just about how you access it. You know, so, I mean, right there, you said it. So if you're normal, then shouldn't there be a lot of pain and not having pain? I don't know. I think everyone has something to say, and songwriting is about accessing it. And Springsteen always says blues in the verse, gospel in the chorus. I believe it. But it's brilliant, because that to me is so we can all be a part of something, because here's this part that's for all of us. And then here's this part that validates it. That's like my diary. So it's this give and take of like, this is for everyone, but it's also me yelling in a mirror.
The Lord does an interview and she talks about being in the diner in between working with you. And then you guys have done some stuff, but then she has to go and go through the pain to come back to work with you for the things that you got out of her. So we all have psychologists, but you, it's kind of like you become their psychologist, which is even weirder, because then they become your psychologist, and here goes the circle of life.
Well, there's a real give and take, and it is a circle because, I mean, I always say there's a crazy powerlessness to songwriting, which some people scratch their head about, but it's like you hear something, or better, you want to hear something, and then you just sit there and try to figure it out. There's no power. You're a slave to it. You're utter slave, right? You don't know how to do it. So if I work with another artist, same thing. We don't know how to do it. We have dumb tools. We have ideas, tempos, drum sounds, chords. Like, who gives you don't know how to do it. You just wait, and you wait, and you kind of like pray for it. So I think whether I'm working alone on my stuff or working with someone else, it's nice because we can relate on this idea of just really crying.
So how do you answer the repeated question about the path to get there? Like, we're having this conversation now. I've got this big pile of questions. I'm paying no attention to it, right? You either know or you don't know, but you never know.
Well, you either have to do it or you don't do it. So it's something that you have to do, or else you wouldn't feel like you exist. And sometimes you think you're honing in on a path and you realize you're all wrong. It kind of doesn't matter. It's all part of the process. But anyone who thinks there's a path, I don't know if they're really a songwriter in that way. They might be more about recreating things they hear out there instead of hearing something and then in their head and just making it. There's absolutely no path. You learn little techniques, but those are just sort of like little things here and there, like, oh, I know how to record low end so it mixes well with stuff. They're just little techniques, but there's no path. You don't get better at it.
But I think what you've perfected, and I didn't think about this literally till this moment, but I was trying to kind of make it all make sense, is the whole co-songwriting thing.
Collaboration is never dead, just because that those are totally separate things. So if I get in a room with someone, we sit in a room alone, usually in my apartment. The whole wheel of, like, you work with this person, then we'll just, you know, that's just a sad industry thing, because people who aren't writers or artists, like people who are making these arrangements, they think, well, if 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 is going to equal a million, you know, if this producer's good, and then we put this producer and this writer, and we put them all in the room, it's like Costco, it'll just get bigger and better, but it just doesn't work like that.
Like Costco?
Yeah.
I love that. I've got a plan.
Yeah.
Let's do a songwriting section at Costco.
I mean, that's what a lot of labels would be interested in.
What, should we do that?
Probably.
We could make no money whatsoever.
But it is funny to watch it, because there's so many people you see out there. It's powerlessness. And in the music band, there's so much alpha energy and so much power, but it's like you have no control. The only real power you have in art is to get closer and closer to better and better writing.
So, you know, what a concept.
But I always say that. I think the greatest cosmic joke about the music industry is that the best art over a long period of time actually makes the most money. Look who's finding this festival. Right?
Well, yeah.
It's the funny thing, and the reason for it, I finally figured it out, because I was like, why don't people understand that? Because the turnover rate is so quick at record labels, so no one has time to foster things.
They're all fearful.
They have to be. There's no time to... But it's just... You can't manufacture something. A lot of times people say to me, like, oh, we want to be like this meets this meets this meets this, and those are the calls that I don't really call back, because it's like, well, then go have someone create that. Anyone can create it. Anyone with a computer can make an album that sounds like Lana Del Rey or sounds like Radiohead. But who...
Well, and they call you and say, I want it to sound like Jack Antonoff. And you go, but what's that?
Yeah. Well, because that's, I mean, then you should hire someone who...
They can hire someone who's as good as you.
or just, I mean, you have to be... But that's also on my side of things, just to remember to do things because they're inspiring and interesting, not because you're excited that you're invited finally.